Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm China. Today is the 22nd day of July. Welcome. It is a joy to be here with you today. I don't know why, but I just feel led to pause and to just take some deep breaths. Maybe it's been a busy week for you, or maybe it's been a good week. But, you know, there is nothing bad that comes from taking a few deep breaths and just breathing deep into our bodies and resetting our nervous systems. It can only set us up for success. So I don't know where you are in your day. If you're just listening to this in the background, great. Some things that, you know, are helpful reminders are just to unclench your jaw and release the tension from your face. Just kind of tilt your head to the side and to the other side. Just take a few deep breaths right before we jump into the Word of the Lord. Today we are in the book of Isaiah. We are in chapters 28 through 30. We are continuing on with the English Standard Version for this week. Ah, the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley of those who overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has one who is mighty and strong, like a storm of hail, a destroying tempest, like a storm of mighty, overflowing waters. He casts down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim will be trodden underfoot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is on the head of the rich valley, will be like a first ripe fig before the summer. When someone sees it, he swallows it, as soon as it is in his hand. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory, and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, and a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. These also reel with wine, and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed by wine. They stagger with strong drink. They reel in vision. They stumble in giving judgment. For all tables are full of filthy vomit, with no space left. To whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people, to whom he has said, "This is rest, give rest to the weary, and this is repose." Yet they would not hear, and the word of the Lord will be to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward, and be broken, ensnared, and taken. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, "We made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter." Therefore thus says the Lord God, "Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste, and I will make justice the line, and righteousness the plumb line, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overwhelm the shelter. And then your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, you will be beaten down by it. As often as it passes through, it will take you. For morning by morning, it will pass through, by day and by night, and it will be sheer terror to understand the message. For the bed is too short to stretch oneself on, and the covering too narrow to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as on Mount Perazim, as in the valley of Gibeon, he will be roused. To do his deed, strange in his deed, and to work his work, alien in his work. Now therefore do not scoff, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard a decree of destruction from the Lord God of hosts against the whole land. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat and rows, and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border? For he is rightly instructed, as God teaches him. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cart wheeled rolled over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cart wheel over it, with his horses, he does not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Ah, Ariel, Ariel, the city where David encamped. Add year to year, let the feasts run their round. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be moaning and lamentation. And he shall be to me like an Ariel. And I will encamp against you all around, and will besiege you with towers. And I will raise siege works against you, and you will be brought low. From the earth you shall speak, and from the dust your speech will be bowed down. Your voice shall come from the ground like the voice of a ghost, and from the dust your speech shall whisper. But the multitude of your foreign foes shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the ruthless like passing chaff. In an instant, suddenly, you will be visited by the Lord of hosts, with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel. All that fight against her in her stronghold and distress her shall be like a dream, a vision of the night, as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating, and awakes with his hunger not satisfied. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is drinking, and awakes faint, with his thirst not quenched. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Astonish yourselves, and be astonished. Blind yourselves, and be blind. Be drunk, but not with wine. Stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you a spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, the prophets, and covered your heads, the seers. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, when men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this." He says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of the discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? And that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob: Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name, It will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt, without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation. For though his officials are at Zoan, and his envoys reach Hanes, everyone comes to shame through a people that cannot profit them, that brings neither help nor profit, but shame and disgrace. An oracle on the beasts of the Negeb. Through a land of trouble and anguish, from where come the lioness and the lion, the adder and the flying fiery serpent. They carry the riches on the backs of donkeys, and their treasure on the humps of camels, to a people that cannot profit them. Egypt's help is worthless and empty. Therefore I have called her, Rahab who sits still. And now, go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, as a witness forever. For they are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions, leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. And therefore, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, because you despise his word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore his iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left. Like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, then you will defile your carved idols overlaid with silver and your gold-plated metal images. You will scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, be gone. And he will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, and bread, the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. In that day your livestock will graze in large pastures, and the oxen and the donkeys that work the ground will eat seasoned fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. And on every lofty mountain and every high hill, there will be brooks running with water. In the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. In the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger and in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of fury, and his tongue is like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream that reaches up to the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction, and to place on the jaws of the peoples a bridle that leads astray. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy feast is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one sets out to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard, and the descending blow of his arm to be seen, in furious anger and the flame of devouring fire, with a cloudburst and storm of hailstones. The Assyrians will be terror-stricken at the voice of the Lord, when he strikes with his rod. And every stroke of the appointed staff that the Lord lays on them will be to the sound of tambourines and lyres. Battling with brandished arm, he will fight with them, for a burning place has long been prepared. Indeed, for the king it is made ready, its pyre made deep and wide, with fire and wood in abundance. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of sulfur, kindles it. Something that I've noticed a lot, actually, when we're reading about the Lord and his heart of these, like just sharing his heart and how his people have constantly turned away from him, and there's been a turning and a turning away. And, you know, we have been reading about the Lord's heart and his feelings about this and what he has to say about it, and the wrath and almost this punishment and this discipline of the actions that his people have done. I love that it is always intertwined with the Lord will be gracious, the Lord will show mercy. Even when he says, I'm not going to show mercy, I'm not going to do this, it's like we see a constant softening of the Lord's heart, and it's this steadfast reminder that the Lord is kind in his nature. And I believe that there's just so much complexity to the Lord that I don't think that I haven't figured out, and to say this is exactly who he is, when this is a fragment of who of his heart that we see in scriptures. And I believe that there's so much more to who he is. And so we see that the Lord is a God who isn't totally untouched by our actions. Like, what we do affects him and his heart. And what he wants, I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea that the Lord wants our obedience, nothing else. I believe he wants our heart, and I believe that he wants us to trust what he says. I won't super get into it, but I've kind of understood and read this concept of obedience is a pretty Western idea, and actually obedience isn't really in the first transcripts of the Bible. It's the Greek word of it would loosely translate to thoughtfully considered, to ponder and then make a decision. And so I don't necessarily think the Lord is just like, you will obey me. I think he wants us to thoughtfully consider and ponder what he is saying, and to trust that, hey, actually, Lord, like, yeah, what you're saying, that's good and that's true and that's right, and I want to follow that. I do not want this other way that I was thinking, because I'm seeing now that it may feel enticing and it may be fun or whatever, but it's not going to give me life, and it's going to cause heartache and destruction. And so, yeah, I'm going to think on this. But the more I think about it, I think I'm going to follow you. I think that's what the Lord wants. When we have this idea of, again, it's a very Westernized thought of, I'm going to blindly do what you say just because you said it, which is a very behaviorist parenting style of you're going to do what I say. Why? Because I said so. Like, that doesn't, there's no room for relationship. There's no room for trust. It's a fear mongering style. And I don't believe that that's the Lord's heart. I think that it, again, it's a very Westernized approach. But this, the Bible is not written for the Western people, it was written to the people in the East, and their culture is very different from what we understand it. And so even the perception that we have of the Bible is through a lens that we can understand it. But anyways, that's a whole nother discussion. But I say all that to say, I believe what the Lord has revealed to me and what I believe to be true is that the Lord is asking, I want you to trust me for who I am and to know me. And in order for us to hear what the Lord has to say, to trust him, we have to know him. Like, that kind of works for anything. I don't know anyone that I just trust without knowing them and knowing that their heart is good towards me. They have good intention. Like, for example, I'm not getting in anybody's car that I don't know. Like, this whole concept of, like, Lyft drivers and Uber drivers, I'm like, not for me, dude. I don't know you. I would have a really hard time trusting you. And I've had to do it sometimes. And I just pray, like, Lord, you got me, right? But it's that same concept. Like, let's just say this. Like, okay, Ben does a lot of our driving, so I sit in the back with Reagan because she doesn't really love her car seat. And so I know Ben. I trust him. I trust that I don't need to be in fear of his driving and that he knows where we're going and how to get there and all of that. This is a terrible example, but I'm just trying to place this in, like, as an imagery in your head, that I trust Ben because I know him. And I would trust the Lord because I know the Lord and I know his heart is for me. And I understand enough to formulate an opinion that I feel safe with him. And so I believe that that is a vital part of our faith. Anyways, all of that to say, I wanted to touch on one of the last things that we read towards the end, where it says, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. Have you ever been so filled with grace that you are waiting to be gracious to someone? That you are waiting and excited to show mercy to someone? I don't think I ever have. Instead, it's been a place of like, okay, I'm gonna extend grace to you. And actually, I feel like grace has to be a ripple effect. It has to be something of that extent, because I think it was like a week or two last week, I was trying to start my car with the key fob, and you have to lock it twice and then click the starter twice. And so I had opened the car door to load some stuff in there, and I just grabbed the keys out of the cup holder, locked it twice, started it, all because I didn't want to go around and just start the car. It was very, very lazy. I am aware of that, but I was just trying to be quick. And so I go inside and I'm like rushing Ben. I'm like, hey, we are late. We gotta go. Why are you now brushing your teeth? Like, come on, let's get out of the door. Let's go. And I go to go put Reagan in her car seat and to get loaded up. And I realized I did not unlock it before I closed the door, because I had locked it twice and then started it. So I locked our keys in the car with it running. And I was like, oh no. Oh no, like, are you kidding me? And so I was kind of holding my breath to see what Ben's response would be. And this is a very quick story. And this, the point of the story is like, Ben came out and he had no ill things to say to me. I was waiting for it. Not because like he has this record of doing that by any means, but it was like, I know what I just did. And I'm feeling very yikes about it. And if you had anything to say that was unkind, like, could be justified, you know, like, no one would blame you. But instead he chose grace and mercy. And I feel like that's what the Lord is doing. Like, the Lord is waiting to show us grace and waiting to show us mercy. And in that instance, I was like, man, I'm really recognizing that my husband is choosing to be gracious and kind, and he's calling locksmiths and trying to get someone out here as quick as he can. And also everything, like the way that he's treating me, body language, the way that he's talking is just very kind. And it was almost like he was waiting to show me grace and to show me mercy. And for me, I was like, now I can't wait to return grace and mercy to you in the way that you have showed it to me. And so I'm like, Lord, that has to feel, in that instance, like, that has to be a small fraction of what your heart feels towards us. So this is a lot of talking that I've done, I realize that. But Lord, I just thank you that that is your truth over us, that you are waiting to be gracious and to show yourself in mercy to us. And Lord, I thank you that that's the sweet truth. And so Lord, I pray that that would reach deep parts of our heart and that we would wait to release that to others and to ourselves. Lord, help us to release that to ourselves. Show us what that looks like. And God, I just thank you for all the instances that you have shown us grace and mercy, and we didn't even realize it. Lord, I pray that we would be more aware of your hand and your kindness. And I thank you for it, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is our website, our home base, and where you can see what's happening here in the community. So be sure to check that out. If you have prayer requests and things that we as a community can come alongside of you and encourage you, lift you up, you can call in at 800-583-2164. And those get sent in and played at the end of every day's podcast. That is all for today. I'm Trina. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB Chronological. This is Crystal from Illinois. I have not ever talked to you guys. I listened to regular DAB for the last probably 4 years and switched it up this year, and I've been really enjoying listening with you all. And thank you so much, Jill and Shina, for what you do. You both do a great job. And I've really enjoyed the change this year. Although Brian's great too. I'm just hopping on here. My mom finished her battle with breast cancer, stage 2. Earlier, I would say probably in February of this year. And so praise report that she's in remission. Also, just prayers for her on Monday the 18th of July. She's supposed to be having reconstruction surgery, as she did have to get a mastectomy. So prayers that that goes well and everything heals great, because she is a school nurse. So we're hoping that within the 3 weeks that she has before she starts back to school, everything will heal up nicely. So thank you guys so much for your prayers. Thank you so much, prayer warriors, for keeping everybody lifted up. You all are amazing, and I am listening with you all and praying as well. Love you all. Have a great rest of your week.
Good morning, my dear family. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower, calling. I'd like to pray for Tyler. Forget what his mother's name is. I think she's from Alabama. Anyway, with a glioblastoma, and I pray, dear God, for a miracle in this man's life, that you would just bless him, dear God, with complete and whole healing, that he would not suffer from this anymore. But through it all, dear God, may his faith grow in you, his trust in you, and his hope in you. In Jesus' name I pray. I'd also like to pray for Rebecca from Michigan. Just ask you, dear God, to open her eyes and her ears and her mind so she can absorb everything you want her to hear and know about you as she studies her Bible study. Help her, dear God, with the computer and the electronic end of it, and that it would be made simple for her and her mind so that she can zip through these obstacles that Satan has put in her path. Just be with her as she wants to honor you with her life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, DABC family. It's Bridget from Baltimore. Just calling in to say that I have been praying for you, Chastity, ever since you called in about your son being diagnosed with autism and how much difficulty you have been having. I have been asking that the Lord support you. I know you mentioned that he has some issues brushing his teeth. I'm no expert, but I do suggest that maybe you can go on YouTube to look at some different videos on children who have sensory issues, and maybe you can get some ideas from there, or maybe talk to your child's pediatrician. But I am praying that the Lord's support continues to surround you and your husband and your child during this moment. I also want to pray for Whitney. I would pray, Lord, that you continue to keep her and her children, and hope, pray, Lord, that they are safe. I also would like to pray for Pam, his ransomed soul in New Jersey. Just checking in on you, haven't heard from you in a little minute. So that's all I wanted to say. Pray that you guys have a blessed day, and thank you.
Hello, my name is Joseph. I'm from Liverpool in the UK. I'm calling in to pray for Abraham from Mexico. Today is the 18th of July. I've just listened to today's reading from China, and then the prayer point was the very first one that came up after that, the prayer request rather. And I just want to first encourage Abraham. What he's describing is something I've also felt very often about, you know, you not being sure or doubting whether you are saved, when in fact you've been saved. And this is, of course, not me trying to give you a false hope or false certainty in that regard, but the very expression of your sincerity in desiring to have an assurance of your salvation to me speaks to the fact that you have your heart in the right place, and God is not some wicked taskmaster that is checking out to see if you've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. So just to encourage you to stay attached to the vine. As long as you abide in the vine, the fruitfulness thereof comes forth to repeatedly confirm to you that you are God's child. Yes, you're going to miss it once in a while, as we all do. But the good thing is we are all works in progress. And so, Father God, I just thank you for Abraham, and I thank you for your work, your ongoing work in his life. Your word reminds us that we can be sure that you that have begun a good work in us, you would bring it to a flourishing finish, to a perfection. And we ask this for Abraham. And we also pray for his finances as a family, that you bless them and help them through. In Jesus' name, amen.